This is tape 6, side 2 of The Impersonal Actor. As we conclude this course, there are several things we want to review about dramatic theory that will be helpful for you to think about often. In this way of working, there are three participants in the dramatic event. The three participants are the writer, in film including this category, the director, the actor, and the audience. Again, when we say the audience, we do not mean that at any time any acting is ever done for or including the audience, except in those rare cases when it is in the writing that a character speaks directly to the audience. When we say that the audience is included, we mean that the audience has come willing to believe and is paid for the privilege to participate in the dramatic event. The writer, then, has provided the things a character does, the creation of the things a character says, and the things other characters say about that character. The director is included here either as a close collaborator with the writer or as one dedicated to fulfilling the intent of the writing. The actor provides the execution of that behavior, which includes accurate and truthful portrayal of what the character says and does through his or her person. The audience gets to perceive the character's thoughts, feelings, and invents what has not already been supplied of the character's history, the character's motivations, the character's intentions, the character's desires, and unless provided for, the character's distant future. The audience will do these things automatically, profoundly, and perfectly, depending on the creative potential of each audience member. The writer and the audience are the creative aspects of the drama. The actor is the executive aspect of the drama. Let each do his part, and what can occur is the dramatic event. The actor does not need to strive to be creative. You, the actor, are a living, unfolding creation, complete in and of yourself. Your natural creativity is extant, moment to moment, in perfection, unless it's being blocked or forced. To understand the material you are to perform, ask the first two important questions. The first question is, why is this scene in the story? Understanding this will give you invaluable clues to understanding what it is that's been given you to act. Here are some examples which will lead perhaps to some generalizations, but that's okay because they're supposed to get you thinking. It's also a good checklist. Is this scene in the script to establish a major circumstance? That is it there to establish a highly positive or highly negative situation in existence and how our characters relate to it? Is the scene in the script to establish a certain behavior, agenda, or worldview on the part of one or more of our characters? If so, how will that change in contrast by the end of the story? Is the scene meant to establish or reestablish a relationship? If so, does it happen quickly or slowly? Is the scene meant to end a relationship, and on what terms? Is the scene meant to draw the lines over which conflict will later occur? Is the scene one in which conflict actually occurs? Is the scene the climax? Is the scene the wrap-up? Is there a reconciliation? Think in these terms, put the answer in your own words, and then closing your eyes and becoming quiet and still for a few minutes, be the audience in your own mind. Now ask the second question. What is the picture the writer wants the audience to see? In a scene, you should be looking for the contrasts in the behavior of the various characters, for each is likely to have his own perception of a condition and his own belief of what is best. Not the contrast in their persons, for you are the person of your role, but the contrast in their behavior. The audience will perceive and themselves create the contrast in their characters. Contrasts in behavior will be less defined in scenes where an argument transpires, or where great fun is being shared by everyone, or in a two-sided love scene where the solutions meet, though the agendas may well be greatly contrasting. Let's look at some useful tools in understanding contrasts in the material in front of you. They can be helpful in aiding your vision, if not in the process of logical deduction, at least in the process of elimination. If you have a scene in which one of the characters is obviously quite nervous, the other is often apparently relaxed. Obviously quite excited, the other is often apparently calm. Obviously quite happy, the other is often apparently discontent. Obviously quite frustrated, the other is often apparently content. Obviously quite busy, the other is often apparently unoccupied. Obviously quite willing, the other is often apparently less than ready. Obviously quite angry, the other is often apparently unperturbed. Obviously joking, the other is often apparently unamused. Obviously quite concerned, the other is often apparently untroubled. Unless, in the writing, the other wants and is intending to appear the same as the first. So, to use this tool, you must first ask yourself the question, is it in the writing that my character wants to appear a certain way? Or is it in the writing that my character doesn't care how he appears? Or is it in the writing that my character cannot seemingly control how he appears, even if he wanted to? Find the answer to this question. These are general points, but they are intended for your use as a tool so that you may begin to look for and find what the writer's intention of the picture is, what it is he or she wants the audience to see. And if you understand what it is that they want the audience to see, you can then begin to look in the script for the things that are there for you to play in order for that picture to accurately develop in the camera mind of the viewer. Remember that words are symbols for the sounds we humans make. If you find the work getting blocked, superficial, or intellectual, clearly define the thoughts, thoughts being single communications, often existing of two or more sentences. Define the thoughts in the writing, and just make the sound of that thought being communicated without using the words. This exercise will quickly point out to you what we are endeavoring to communicate rather than trying to feel, and it will also clarify the substance and degree of the communication. Let's analyze a scene. In the play Billy Budd, a young naive sailor in the service of Her Majesty's Navy kills, in a stuttering rage, a malicious and malevolent master-at-arms who has falsely accused him before the captain of conspiracy to mutiny. The boy, much loved among all the crew and staff as well, is eventually tried and hanged. In the scene which takes place immediately following the killing, between the captain of the ship and his first officer, the two have a very dramatic exchange regarding Bud's immediate future. The captain, despite his love and high regard for the boy, can see no choice but to try him for murder, he himself being the witness, and if found guilty, that he be hanged. The first officer, representing not only the view of the crew, but really of the captain himself, tries to get him to see that Bud only did what everyone else wanted him to, and that it's clear that he is no murderer. The captain has to deal with the admiralty laws and the necessity to keep order on the seas, regardless of any personal feelings involved. It is an agonizing scene between two men who respect one another, and the issue being addressed is justice. This is not a scene of conflict between the captain and his first officer. It is a scene of the eternal conflict between what is right and what is the law, and that is always a timely issue. The trap in the scene is for the actor to play Captain Vere in conflict with his first officer. That might occur if Vere has already decided that there is no choice but for Bud to hang. But if the actor plays that, he will be A, playing a personal conflict between Vere and his first officer, and B, giving away the outcome of the next scene. You see, in the next scene, the court-martial, two other officers will adamantly contest the idea of hanging Bud. And this is important, because if the scene is to have dramatic effect, the audience must believe, at least for a while, that Bud has a chance of getting out of this alive. They must be allowed to hope in order to have the dramatic effect of having their hopes dashed. Well, if Captain Vere is played as having himself given up all hope for the boy in the scene with his first officer, then there is no dramatic tension caused by the existence of hope during the testimony section of the court-martial. It is only at the last moment, just as the vote is to be taken to acquit Bud, that Captain Vere speaks up as the voice of the law of the sea and convinces the others that out of duty to the king they must find to hang the boy. This is a decision that Vere was all along afraid he was going to have to make, but through which from the beginning he has tried to find an avenue of escape. If there is to be dramatic event in the court-martial scene, there must be hope for Bud in the scene between Vere and his first officer. Well, we know that we cannot act hope, and we know that we must play a very intelligent and capable man in the captain, a man who knows the law and the implication of the law. So what is acted so that we will perceive that there is some chance for Bud? Captain Vere must address with the lines he is given that there has to be a way out, even though he doesn't think there is. Here, once again, as is so often the case, is where we see that what is apparently written is not the sentiment to be communicated. Even with a line of Captain Vere's as apparently hopeless as, "When I think I could have watched him grow in comely wholeness of manhood, all lost now," the sentiment to be communicated is not the "all lost now," which is the words, but rather with the words "all lost now," the actor rightly communicates, "My God, what do we do to fix this?" Playing for the hope, or the scene is over. It's also in the looking. He would literally look for a way out, in the wall, in the floor, out the window, for some unknown way to avoid the inevitable. And it is out of this looking that the communications come forth. The lines may even say that the jig is up, but even as it is communicated, the looking is into some potential way out. When we see this, we will perceive the immediacy and desire of the captain to save Bud from the cruel fate, as well as the odds against which he's working. Thus, we then perceive a man caught between justice and the law, a truly rotten place to be. Now, as well, we sympathize with the agonizing situation the captain is in, and later we will perceive the complexity and cost of his decision to find against the boy. The star of the scene, then, so to speak, is not the conflict, but the dilemma. If the two men fall into conflict, then it will be perceived that the captain has given up looking for a way out, and then so will we. But if the situation is still up for grabs, and it must be, for there to be the drama, then the only conflict is between the two men and the situation, not between the two men. This is applied dramatic theory, and you'll find that starting to look at material in terms of dramatic effect will plot for you a very clear path of acting, making your job much more fun and your work far, far more powerful in effect. Now that we've been through the body of our discussions, we're going to go through a list of things to look for and then a list of things to do when you're analyzing a scene. Remember, this will not be a total list in all cases, but it will serve as a primary form for you to operate from when determining what your job will be as actor. I will go through them slowly so that you can think about them as you hear them in light of how we have addressed these many things in the previous discussions. They are then, in effect, a review of the course. You may well want to write them down, study them, and know them as tools of your craft. It will also be highly beneficial for you to listen to this section in a very relaxed state over and over again so that the ideas and philosophies will reach many levels of your consciousness. When you look at a scene, ask yourself the following questions about your work, portraying your character, the role you are about to play. Have you decided to work in creative harmony with the intention of the writing? Have you decided to do what your character does, rather than what you may want him to do? Have you decided to communicate what your character communicates, rather than what you may personally desire for him to communicate? Have you chosen to play your character as a coping, winning person, until and only if the writing prescribes otherwise? Have you decided that the character will not be an expression of your own personal need, bias, or desire? Have you decided to endow your character with as much intelligence as you yourself have, and even more? Have you decided to endow your character with as much humor with the world as you would like to have? Have you chosen to play a character who is giving, rather than one who is taking until the writing prescribes otherwise? Have you chosen to play a character who is about the world, rather than about what is going on inside his or her head? Have you chosen to play a character who is concerned with what others get from him, rather than what he wants to get? Have you chosen to trust that the audience will know what your character is thinking and feeling, because they have been watching the story, and because of what you are accurately doing and communicating? Have you determined what the big issues are? Have you chosen to trust that the audience will know how your character feels about these issues by what he is communicating about them? Have you chosen to protect the surprises in the writing? Have you decided to make no negative value judgments about your character? have you decided to avoid conflict until it is exposed in the writing? Have you decided not to play attitude and mood? Have you decided that your character is good at everything until it is revealed that he is not? Have you looked at the circumstances in which these scenes take place very carefully, thoughtful as to how it will affect communication? Is this a scene where your character is concerned with how he appears, or is it of no concern at all? What is the correct volume based on where you are and who may be in earshot? Does it matter if anyone else hears, even if they can? Is your character physically defended, closed in how he sits or stands, or is he open and undefended? If he is defended physically, is he aware of it, or is he unaware of being closed? What is the correct speed of your communications? Is there an immediate need to communicate? Are your character's communications for the purpose of stimulating another? Or are they merely to talk about how the world is? Does it matter if any in view can see what you are communicating? Is your character always telling the truth in this scene? If he is not, are you lying flawlessly? Is your character merely referring to life as it goes? Is your character merely referring to life as everyone knows it goes? Is your character full of delight? Is your character showing delight? Is your character seeing the irony in life? Is your character having irony? Is your character full of anger? Is your character showing anger? Is your character full of defiance? Is your character behaving defiantly? Is your character showing that he understands what another is communicating to him? Is your character expecting what he is hearing? Is your character somewhat expecting what he is hearing? Is your character not expecting what he is hearing? Is your character doing any of the following things? Is he actually punishing someone? Is he yelling at someone? If so, is the yell to be done with love? Is he convincing another person of something? Is he explaining something to another person or spelling it out? Is he doing any of the previous things for a joke or to be entertaining? Is your character talking about how good it would be if only something seemingly out of his sphere of influence would happen? Is your character encouraging and cheering someone on to do something that would be good for himself and for the common good? Is your character looking into his immediate future? Is your character looking into his immediate past? Is your character looking into his distant future? Is your character looking into his distant past? If your character is looking into any of these, are you letting the communications come effortlessly out of the looking? Have you determined where in the scene your character comes out of the looking? Is this a love scene? If it is a love scene, are you avoiding acting romantic, but instead frankly offering gifts, compliments, and/or solutions? Is this a greeting scene? Have the participants ever met? If they have met, how long has it been? Are there any impediments to an open greeting? Is this a one-sided greeting scene? Is this an initial greeting scene, or is it a scene of reunification? Is this a forced greeting scene? Is this a scene of voluntary reunification? Is this a scene of involuntary reunification? Is this a goodbye scene? If this is a goodbye scene, is it a two-sided goodbye scene? Are you using too much face in the work? Have you defined any moments which can be described as little a, big B? Are you saying what things mean? Are you hearing what things mean? Are you seeing what things mean? Have you looked for the contrasting behavior and agendas established in the writing between characters and then used that information in the process of elimination to determine what is written for your character to do? After you've thought about all of these things, you'll be well on your way to understanding your job and playing the scene before you. Soon, all of these things will become second nature to you. They'll become part of how you look at a scene or audition material from the moment you have it in your hands. Remember, the answer to these questions will be made known to you because you are asking the question, how does this scene go? Not because you are asking, how can I play this scene or how will I look good in this scene? Learn to ask the bigger question and you'll receive the bigger answer. It's been my great pleasure to impart to you the keys of this way of thinking about the craft of acting. You know now what I mean when I said in the beginning of the course that there was nothing herein which you did not understand on some level. What you now see is that embracing an impersonal viewpoint of the work is what will allow you to serve the work and thereby in every sense to serve yourself. This is Sean Nelson wishing you satisfaction and success as the impersonal actor.